Reverend Jerry Carr.
Thanks, Dean. Very kind. How many of you in here are between the ages of 60 and over? Right here. 60 and over. 60. Okay. How many here are between the ages of 40 and 60? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are in here between the ages of 20 and 40? Raise your hand. And how many of you are teenagers? Raise your hand. Good. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 'The title of my teaching is Witnessing an Under-Shepherding Summer Camp. I don't have a title. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth?" Who will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth? This is a tremendous verse. It says, who, and this is referring to God, who will have, who will. The word will in the Greek is the word thelo, T-H-E-L long O. Thelo, will, thelo. It's an active impulse. It is a natural impulse. It's a natural desire. It's a natural response. It's not something that is thought through whatsoever. It is a bam. It's a desire. It is boom. God's thalo, God's desire, God's not even thinking. His desire is that all could be saved and come unto a knowledge of the what? The word knowledge. It means a clear knowledge, something that you really understand. It's a thought through participation on the part of the one who is learning with the object of really learning. Not like, how many of you are still in school? Raise your hand. That's a raised hand. Raise your hand. Raise it. What? This is a raised hand. This is like, yo. No. How many? So it's not like taking a biology test. You find out what the, I don't know anything about that. But I took biology, and that's the point. Oh. Aha. You don't remember a damn thing. That's not God's will. God's response, his impulse, is that we can come to a clear knowledge, thorough participation on part of the North. In other words, you learn what you're learning. You learn it. It's not just words. It's something you learn. It's something that you inculcate in your life. It's a knowledge that has a powerful influence on the one that's learning. You learn, boy, and you know, maybe some of us had two or three good teachers at the most. And those people had some sort of impact on our lives. I had a coach like that. So did George. He had an impact on our life, not just on the football field, but in our life. You can go a lot further than your body tells you. You can go further. You can go further. And then you can go further. That's what I learned from him. And that was something that was an indelible imprint in my mind. Here, it's God's will that all are saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. God's passion, his heart, is that everybody gets saved and everybody can come unto a clear, understandable knowledge of his word, and that it can have a powerful influence on everyone that's born again of God's Spirit. How many in here, oh yeah, here's another group participation question. How many in here got in the word as a result of someone witnessing to them besides their family? Okay, me too. Okay. So you weren't born into the family of God who was already in God's word. My very first fellowship, I didn't come from a family that was in God's word. My very first fellowship, three things happened to me that were just unbelievable. I understood God's word for the first time in my life, and I used to go to church. I went to church all the time, almost every Sunday. George and I were in a really nice church. They were great people, nice people, but we never learned the word. But the first thing I learned, the first thing that hit me was I understood what was being taught. The second thing that hit me was God's love. Now, at the end of that night, I didn't know it was God's love, but something, it was like, wow, something, people are coming up to me and liking me and they're not wanting anything from me. This is different, but it was God's love. And the third thing was God's power. He talked about it a bunch in the manifestations, about healing, about forgiveness. And don't you kid yourself. You go in the Old Testament or in the Gospels, and you see how many times Jesus Christ, when somebody had what looked like a physical need, he said, your sins are forgiven. So I just saw God's power in a great way. I saw somebody get healed who was sitting right next to me. So it was pretty impactful. If you want to go to Romans chapter 10. And there's people out there in the world that are Christian. As they say down south, bless their hearts. And they know a lot of God's word. But something's missing. And there's other people that are on TV that are just gregarious individuals. They're just, you know, they're just super excited. It's like they got shot out of a cannon. Verse 2 says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to what? So they're all excited, but they don't know what the hell they're excited about. Other people are real knowledgeable, but they're never excited. They're like, take your Bibles and go to Romans. You know, yeah, great. Listen, God wants us to have a knowledge and he wants us to have a zeal. You know, I've noticed in the recent past that people have nice fellowships, but nothing happens. There's a nice teaching. I'm all for nice teachings. Where's the power? Where's the manifestations? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We want the Word of God to really move in an outreach capacity. We need to manifest God's power in a great way. Not just reading the scripture, but living the scripture that you're reading. Mark. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. No? Don't remember that group? Liar, you do. You're just ashamed to admit it. Mark 16. And this is Jesus Christ right before he got up to get ascended. In verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's quite an assignment. Are you reading this? This is God's word. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be judged, it should read. And these signs shall follow them that do what?
Believe.
Are we believers? Yeah. And this is gospels. This isn't even when they had Christ in them. In my name they shall cast out devils. Well, you know what? I learned there are no devil spirits anymore. They all left with Jesus Christ and in the book of Acts. There isn't any anymore. What do you think is the root of all the problems we have? The root, I'm not saying people, everyone's possessed, but the root of all things that are bad is the adversary. And here he says, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and that's like if they should take up serpents, and they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Well, dang it, that's right. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, woo, and sat at the right hand of God. And guess what? And this is after Pentecost, of course, but they went forth and they preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with what? Signs, miracles, and wonders follow believers. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow believers. If I couldn't see God work in my life, my own life, every week, I'd quit. I'd stop it. You should expect that too. That God works in you, that he will do things, he will manifest his power in your life if you just let him. Be cognizant of God's presence and power in you at all times. People, we got needs in here that need to get handled before the week's out. Not to mention the needs in the world. Well, get them handled. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, verse 8. And this here is right before Jesus Christ ascends also. It's like his last instructions. It says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Receive, manifest, you know, receive, lambano. Power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. Man, that's a big assignment. I think sometimes we spend more time putting together a birthday than we do thinking about God's word. Graduation. Since when do you have graduation parties for when somebody graduates from kindergarten? First grade, fourth grade, sixth grade. Eighth grade. How many parties you want? I'm not against parties, but what kind of effort, what kind of mindset do we put to the Word of God and the acting upon it and seeing God's Word come to pass? Priority. What's our priority? Our job? Playing, what's that new, what is everybody playing with the rackets?
Pickleball.
You're playing the pickleball now. I got nothing against pickleball. What is it?
Pickleball.
I got nothing against golf. I got nothing against any of it. But where's the word? Is it first, foremost, and always, or is it just you go to fellowship and you kiss? Hey. I want this word to move for the next 1,000 years if the Lord should tarry. I'm 72. I'm on the back nine. But one of the greatest witnesses there is to manifest God's power. We don't want to be the ones that talk about God's word but never see it come to pass and never believe it ourselves. That would make us wearing masks, a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't believe I am a hypocrite. Don't think so. Not with this. This is the most important thing in life. You know, if I can't manifest his power, if I can't manifest God's love, I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. Sharing about love. Love. Love never fails. Love. Love. And I don't manifest it. I'm a liar. I'm telling you to do something I don't do. What kind of leader does that make me? A counterfeit leader. That's right. Lots of people know the Bible. See, God's word. We need to rightly divide God's word. We need to manifest God's love, and we need to manifest God's power in a great way in our lives. Why not? You waiting for Jerry to do it? I get so many calls from people that you can handle. You say, call Jerry, call Jerry, call. I don't mind the phone call, and I appreciate it. And many times that's right on, but doggone it. I like poems that you can understand, and here's a great one. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day, wouldn't you? I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. Today I saw these guys, and I know a lot of you are doing it, but I saw Emilio and Martin. They were pushing those carts all over the United States today. Gosh, they got to be tired. But that's a sermon that you see. They weren't doing it because they had to or they were burdened. They were blessed to do it. Just like all these guys. I get so blessed. These guys are just, all these guys that help on these things, they're so fantastic because they do it with heart. Once you lose the heart, you lose the whole thing. You lose everything. You're better off, you know, digging ditches. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see out good out in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn how to do it if you let me see it done. And boy, that's a big one. You teach and you show. You teach and you show. You show what you're teaching by your life. I soon can learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you in the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding on how you act and how you live. Boy, that is a great, great thing. You know, I was thinking, if you knew the cure to cancer, or if you knew the cure of this country, if you knew it and absolutely knew it, you would jump to it. You would share. Here's how you get everybody healed of cancer. You would be so free to tell people, and boy, people be getting healed left and right, left and right, left and right. What do we have to offer? What do we have to offer that's greater than that? Salvation. Eternal life. Everywhere you go, there's people. Do they know what you know? Could they know what you know if you spoke? Could they learn about salvation? Could they learn about having a life that's more than abundant? Boy, they could. Romans 10. You know, we know how to get people saved. We know how to get people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We should tell everybody we know. I got a bagel guy. Did I tell you about this bagel? I got a bagel guy. He's Lebanese, and he's a fantastic man. I've prayed for him. His kids have gotten healed as a result of it. I got a liquor store guy, the place that I buy liquor for other people. And he asks me all the time to pray for him or his family. The next time I come, he goes, thank you for your prayer. You know, he does all this, and I don't know what else they do. But he gets the prayers answered. You know why? He believes. He's a Hindu. He has 60,000 gods. He's got them all covered. Just in case we're wrong, he's got it. He's got it covered. He's got the guy with the three eyes, you know, the bull, the elephants, everything. He got them all. Why? Because he believes. He believes that I will pray and that he will get his prayers answered. Same with the bagel guy. He's the same way. I was going to buy the bagels. He said, no. You pray for my family, they get healed. I said, oh, wait a minute. Is this pay for pray? I don't want that. No, Jerry, I just want to bless you. Okay, good, I'll take it. Good for your church. I said, if the bagels are good. Anyway, chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what?
Salvation.
For the scripture saith, the word of God says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what?
Preacher.
Now, Dean talks and said, I'm a great teacher. I don't know about that. I can preach. I'm a preacher. I don't know. There's a lot of great teachers in here. You've heard them, like Bob and Joe. These men are great teachers. I mean, they're teachers. When you've heard the teachings that they give, that's it. Boy, woo. You know, I'm a preacher. You know, I'm a son of a preacher, man. Not just, but look, how can they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to preach. How should they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful feet, check your feet, just kidding, of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I happen to have beautiful feet. Anybody see my feet? Who's seen my feet? Are they nice? They are. And they're tender, they're soft. Somebody asked me the other day, how come my hands are so soft? I says, because I don't work. Except they be sent. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of what? But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith the Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by one thing. What? Wow. In this section, the word call is used several times. Did you see it? In verse 12, Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, how then shall they call? You see that word call? The word call means to invite somebody for something. You invite someone to something or somewhere that you want them to see. You invite them in. You invite them. Call. Call. Look at John 1 real quick. John 1. This is a weekend or a week. Actually, this whole year I've centered my heart in thinking around outreach and moving God's word. And certainly we've seen some tremendous outreach of God's word in the areas that are represented from New Jersey, certainly. There's been a lot of outreach. The word's moving in Milltown area. The word's moving in North Jersey. The word is moving in the Cherry Hill area, and I'm so thankful for that. God's word's on the move. It's really on the move. It's fantastic to see. And in John 1, John the Baptist, you know, he has three guys with him. He said, well, there's the Lamb of God. That's in verse 35, but we'll skip to verse 38. So he sends them to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus turned and he saw them, verse 38, following, and he said, what are you looking at? What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where do you live? Well, he said, well, children, if you look in Exodus, no. He said, come and what? He invited them. They came and they saw where he dwelt, and he abode with them that day, for it was about the what? Wow. Talk about neat. Jesus Christ called them. He invited them. He invited them to his house. That was calling them. He was wanting them to see what he had. He invited them. John 14, 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and what? Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. What an invitation. Why did God give us a mouth? What do you think God was thinking when he said, well, I'm going to make this thing that has lips? I don't know. I don't know what a mouth is. Yeah, no, I use mine too much, but there's only two things you can do with your mouth. You can either bless somebody or not. That's it. That's all you can do. So why did he give us a mouth? So we could speak God's word, so we could speak God's love, so we could walk in God's power and speak God's power. That's why he gave us a mouth. We need to call people back to God. We need to call people, invite them to have a supper with God and his word, and to pray for them, to love them, to nourish and take care of them. And you guys do such a great job of that. You guys, that's probably why we have what we have, because you do believe this. 1 Corinthians 2. One of my favorite Joe Armstrong lines when he teaches is, does this make any sense? Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 12. It says, 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Well, praise the Lord. That's a good information. Once we got born again, we didn't get the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, God's spirit. Why? Why? The word that is the purpose, the reason, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God at your fellowships. that you house in your home or someone else's home and you're in charge, boy, oh boy, they don't need to get more educated, except they need to know what they've been freely given. Boy, teach God's word simply so that not even a child could err. And sometimes I think we just get too smart for our britches, and we got to stop it. You got to teach a person how to walk, you know, like if it's your kid or something. Teach them to walk before they can run. And sometimes we just assume because we know the scriptures, they have manifested this walking. Well, maybe they haven't. Maybe we need to teach the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I do. I only have one teaching. So that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Even those things, that's what we're supposed to speak. That's what we're supposed to speak. What we've been freely given, that's what we're supposed to speak. That's what we're supposed to tell people. Look, do you think the world needs peace? Peace. Well, do you or don't you? I mean, I'm not just dinging around up here. This is family participation. We're playing Yahtzee. Look, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Do we do that? Do we look at things spiritually, or do we look at, you know, things carnally? Let's say we have a problem. We do. We all do. We all have problems. Well, how do you handle the problem? How do we do that? Where do we go first? Is it God and His Word, or do you go to whatever on the phone? So let's say you got a headache and you're dizzy. You go to the phone. And there's 17,822 things that can give you a headache and make you dizzy. But then you break it down. And you go, well, my tooth hurts once in a while, too. So you really look at that. Is that our source of information first? I'm not saying that that's not okay once in a while, but is that where we go first? Or what does God's word say? Well, you've got a church going now. That's good. Look, compare spiritual things with spiritual. Look at Acts chapter 28. God wants us to know the things we've been freely given, and God wants us to speak those things. And He wants us to look at things spiritually. Acts 28, verse 31. Acts 28, verse 31. Think about this verse. What can someone tell me about Acts 28, 31? Somebody raise their hand. Yes, Joe. It's the end of Acts. He's the only one that knew that. Man, you think about that. It's the last verse in the book of Acts, which basically, you know, shows how the first century church walked. And it's interesting because he's in jail and he's witnessing. He is speaking God's word to King Agrippa. In the last verse recorded, I don't know if it was the last thing he said, but the last verse recorded is right here. It says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding. Here it says preaching. We read preaching a bunch in that section in Romans. There's two basic words for preaching. There's more, but it's caruso and evangelisto, or however you pronounce it. This is caruso. It means to herald forth, to make a proclamation, to make an announcement. Here in the last verse of the book of Acts, Paul says, preaching, preaching, hold it forth, make a proclamation, make an announcement. We have a joyful announcement to make to anyone who wants to hear. People need love. They need peace. They see the shenanigans that are going on in this world. They see it in our country. Our country is just a mess, and it needs the word, not a new president. Well, maybe we do, but that's a whole nother thing, but we Our country needs God's word. That was one of the reasons our country was founded in the first place. They were seeking religious freedom. People need God's word. Not too many people think about that anymore. Why not? Because we're not telling them. That's why not. You young kids, speak the word in your school, man. Speak the word. Bring them to fellowship. We used to lie and say, hey, come to a party. And the party was a fellowship. And some of them believed, some of them didn't. But some of them believed. And to me, fellowship was a party. You know, bring the fellowship. Ask them to come. What do you got to lose? Nothing. What do they have to lose? Everything. And if you have that attitude in your mind that if they come, they're going to get everything they ever needed in their whole life, more people will come. But you need to be convinced. That's why we're doing this week. See, preaching. Jesus Christ didn't say begging. Paul didn't say begging. Preaching. Hold it forth. And one of the greatest ways to do that is by telling people what God did for you. Now, for some people, they don't remember. Or maybe they don't even know what God did for them. And that's a shame. Getting into God's word changed my life. I was going nowhere in an escalated fashion. I was a bum, basically. Doing drugs, praying that I could find a girl that would like me, let alone kiss me. It's miserable. But then I got in the word. I saw these people who loved me, who cared about my life. And I wanted to be that way. I wanted to help other people. I wanted to be that way for somebody else. I wanted to bless people. Still do. I want to help people. I want to heal people. Share what God has done for us. And the reason, one of the greatest reasons for that, and Paul did that certainly, is because it's something you're an authority on. You're an authority on what God has done for you. I want to play something for you right now, and I don't want you to laugh, because I think this is one of the most fantastic exposés of something that I've ever heard in my life. And it's a segment from the comedian and he does a million things, Steve Harvey, and I want you to hear how he would introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn it up so people can hear. And listen.
Just in my imagination of the ultimate introduction, that if I had the chance to bring out Jesus, I was thinking, what would I say with this third eye, with my ability as a comedian? What would I say if somebody let me introduce him? Because he gonna get introduced one day. It's what my mama has always. My mother taught me as 36 years of a Sunday school teacher that Jesus was gonna come back one day. I believe that through every piece of hard time I'd have had. When y'all see me on tape and it don't look like I know him, trust me, I know him every day. There's no way I could have got here without him. What I believe has gotten me here, this is real talk. So if you will, just imagine with me if I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ. This is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with two fish fries. Special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. The bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Now that was some preaching. But what a, I get chills listening to that again, you know, because we have a Lord and Savior. We know more about the accuracy of God's word than Steve Harvey, but it's the same Lord. God blesses him because of his believing in his life. He's certainly going to bless us. I just love that. That's just such an inspiring thing to hear for me, because there's somebody who wasn't ashamed to speak. Even though he's a comedian, even though he's a millionaire, me, if you know that. And he does it a lot, not Steve Harvey. Go to Mark chapter 6. We need to share with people what God has done for us. And then we need to, in turn, help others, minister to others, pray for others, and so on. In verse 7 it says, "And he called unto them the 12, unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." He gave them power over unclean spirits. And as far as I know, this is the first time Jesus Christ relegated God's power to other people who didn't have spirit upon them necessarily at that time. I don't ever remember that happening in the Old Testament. And so here he sends them out two by two, the 12, and he gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, nor scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and don't put on two coats. And he said unto them, "In what place soever you enter into the house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall receive you, not receive you, pardon me, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city." And they went out and they preached that men should what? And they cast out many devils, and they anointed with oil many that were sick, and he healed them. Too often times when you speak the word to somebody and they come to fellowship for a little while and then they leave, you blame yourself. You feel worse than they do. Shake the dust off, baby. Move on down the line. Other fish to fry. So what they do, they preached, and they cast out devils, and they healed people. They preached, they cast out devils, and they healed people. They did all three. They did all three. They did what Jesus Christ told them to do. This word of God's got to be as alive tonight as it was when he spoke it. It says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was what? And we have Christ where?
In us.
So what's the deal? Fear, common sense, condemnation, not good enough. Well, get out there and get bold. Luke chapter 10. So he sent out the 10, the 12. Luke 10. If you're tired, you should have slept before he came. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city, every place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly what? But the laborers are what? The harvest is still plenteous, and the laborers are still few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That would be a tremendous prayer for you to incorporate in your life for more laborers. And then I remember somebody that's in here when they were in a situation where there was a bunch of believers, but there was nobody to lead the fellowship. They called me and said, well, who's supposed to lead the fellowship? I basically said, you. And guess what? They did, and they are doing, and they've done a great job. Send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And it's still the same way. Don't carry your purse, especially you guys, nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, you go, you speak the word, they like it, they get blessed. Great. If they don't let it ruin your peace. Okay? And the same house remain, eating, drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now there's an interesting thought. Don't do that. Into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Look at verse 17. And the 70 did this, and they came back with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Even the devils' spirits are subject to us in your name. And he said unto him, I behold, Satan is lightning fall from heaven. I never understood what that meant. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy? Do we have any less power than that as sons of God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us? No. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. I read this. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've been in situations that are crazy, crazy. Some of you have too. And God got us out of those situations, and God helped the person we were trying to help. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't go crazy because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. And I wonder if we do this enough. I wonder if right now, let's think about this. You're excited because you just kicked out devil spirits. You just healed somebody, and you should be excited. But he's making a point. But rather, and that word rather is the Greek word malandai, which means even to a greater significance. The word rather means to a greater. It's great you cast out spirits. It's great people got saved. It's great people got healed. But rejoice, rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. Well, hallelujah. You realize we're going someplace where there's nothing bad ever? Where there's not, you know, you gotta, when you get a little older, you get a little tweak here and a tweak there and really tweaks everywhere, you know. But think about, our names are written in the book of heaven. We're going. Even if we were in a bad mood that day and said, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. You're still going to heaven. It doesn't matter. I don't want to go to hell, but you might have a day like that. Or you might tell your wife, go to hell. No, you wouldn't do that. I've never said that. By the way, for the record, never said that. I never even thought about it. Why would anybody want to go to send somebody to hell? Anyway, but think about what God's done for you. And again, maybe you didn't have some incurable disease and got healed. Maybe you didn't have 17 devil spirits. Maybe, I don't know. But guess what? You're going to heaven. You've been saved. And there's a lot of things that God has done for you that you need to recognize. The little things every day, every day. Thinking about that today. God answered a prayer of mine today. Just today. Yeah. I was really woozy and I needed to be healed. And I prayed first, God first, right? And gave it a couple minutes and I got healed. And, you know, you could say, well, what do you? Well, I recognized it and I'm thankful for it. Too often times we just blow it off as, well, I guess it was just something. And it was just something probably. But God healed me, and I know he healed me, you know. And that's a great thing to remember. Acts 26. In Acts chapter 26 is a verse that was the purpose for the Power for Abundant Living class, the foundational class. And again, you know, Paul was speaking the word here. And in verse 18, it says to open their eyes. Remember Ephesians? First prayer in Ephesians. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and all that stuff. Do you remember that? God wants us to see spiritually. He wants us to see things not this way, but that way. What does he have to show us about life, about people, about situations, about your job, about your school, about your housing, about where you go? You know, do you ask God before you go someplace at night? Or do you just go, do you pay attention? Do you ask God what's going on in the place that you go? Is there spirits? Is there, should I be here? Should I not be here? And you could say, well, you're a religious nut. You could say that. But I pay attention. I pay attention. I really pay attention, or I do my best to open their eyes. That's the first thing. Open their eyes. Get the eyes open. And turn them from darkness to what? Light. From darkness to light. That's drastic. Is there a control here that can turn off all the lights at one place? No. Pretty much? It won't. Will it turn off the lights in the back? Yeah. Okay, good. No, let's do that. There. Now turn them on. Bam. Turn their eyes from darkness unto light. You can't see where you're going. And then all of a sudden, you see. Open the eyes, turn us from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, which is pretty damn powerful, to God, which is more powerful. Boy, why? So that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. What a verse. Here we have this in our control. Everywhere we go, If someone's not born again, and remember, who will all have been to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. If not me, who? If not now, when? I'm inside of my life. I'm inside of my head. I'm inside of my brain. Wherever I go, man, God and Christ in me. I speak the word every day, every day. Do I have thousands of people come to my fellowship? No, but that's not the reason to witness. God gives what? The increase. It's my responsibility to speak his word. And if I speak his word, God's going to give the increase somewhere. And I know he'll bless me for doing it, whether people come flooding into my fellowship or not. You know, maybe they'll come flooding into North Carolina. Maybe because we're speaking the word. It doesn't matter. But it's our responsibility to speak it. It's our responsibility to preach it. It's our responsibility to share salvation with people. And you can say what you want about me and the way I talk or how I talk. I live this way, Jack. This ain't no fugazi. It's my life. I decided when I was 18, I said, God, this is it. I don't care if I'm a plumber or a painter. I don't care what I do. But this is it. And I must have meant it because it still is it. It's the only it that matters to me in my life is that. You know why? Because he promises to supply all our what?
Needs.
So if I need a girlfriend, well, wait. Sorry. Oh, I don't know. What do you need? I don't know. I don't know. But if you need something, God's going to supply it because he's God. That's not going to help me to go into the want ads and look for a girlfriend or whatever you want ads. What? Pennsylvania dating. I don't know. What?
Farmers only.
You know, I don't need to do that because God will supply my what? Look, I've been married twice. I have had two great wives. I don't know how to explain that, but God knew I couldn't do this by myself. So he supplied an unbelievably great wife for me. How does he do that? Was I searching the Farmer's Almanac or wherever you said? I don't know what it is. You know, no. I prayed. And I started by dating two. I dated Dorsey and Diane at the same time. It's the way to go. So you say, what does that mean? I'll explain myself right now before you get too wild in your head. They both had needs. Wait, that's wrong. That's wrong. Wait, I'll get it. All right, wait. Can you give me another chance? We'll edit that. Look. I was heartbroken. Dorsey was heartbroken. Diane was heartbroken. I knew they were. They knew I was. So they lived together. We prayed together every day. We had manifestations together every day. We hiked together. We studied God's word together. We listened to teachings together. We went to movies together. We went to supper together. And we just had a great time. See? And God helped me and Diane. And then I introduced George. I can't tell that story, but it was a good one. I introduced George to Dorsey on a blind date, and that was it. I mean, that took one date, and they were done. Really, they were done. I mean, I had never seen that in my life. They were done. I went to bed, and they're still in my house. This George has moves like you can't believe. Diane will tell you, when we did start, like, dating, like, me and her, it took me a year to kiss her. Am I right? And it was a really great one, right? Nope. I kissed her like this, I'll tell you. This is just a little story. I'm a preacher, not a teacher. So this is it. Good night, honey. Good night, Diane. I said, you better get out of here. You better get out of here. That was it. It's done. So what's the purpose of this story? God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is the purpose of that story. And, you know, he knows. He knows the beginning before the end. He knows all. He knows it all. But if we try to figure everything out with our brilliant minds, we are going to fail miserably, which will cause excessive frustration on the part of the great thinkers. I read the word. That's it. Only rule of faith in practice. That's it. End of story. We go to the word. We go to the word. And God knows how to figure stuff out. He does. He does it all the time for us. We don't recognize it enough. We got to pay more attention just to the itsy bitsy little things. Look, I got a new tomato in my garden. You laugh, but that might be a really cool thing, right? I watched this plant outside our back die and come back to life because Diane loves these. I don't know what she does. She talks to them and I don't know. Joyce used to put mayonnaise on plants, thinking that like massaging a plant. But those plants grew. Yeah. Whatever. God supplies. That's the point, okay? And the purpose of PFAL is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, which is a big deal. Why? So that they could receive forgiveness of sins. And boy, that's a big deal. Accept God's forgiveness. Dang it, don't hold on to the thing you did yesterday. He forgives, no matter what it is. I thought we'd close with this. I'm going to read you lyrics from a song and then play the song, and I want you to listen to it. Even if you're one of those people who goes, oh, God, another song. Listen. All right, here it is. Ready? I was just a young boy, 17 or so, running crazy, chasing good times, never say no. All my friends, we stuck together. We were cool. We were hot. We were everything everyone else was not. We take it all away, never thinking about the cost. Joey was the best, you know. Man, he was the greatest guy, but not anymore. He drove right through the crossing gate. Supposed to be with him, but I was 3 minutes late. Because I met a girl that day. She was reading the Bible, and I decided to stay. Read me Romans 10, 9, and 10. Didn't take too long. I got born again. My friends laughed. God, how it hurts. But I didn't compromise. Because I'd rather be laughed at for speaking God's word than those that won't survive. So I'm going to stand. It may take a lot of guts to be God's man. Well, I'm going to stand no matter what it takes. God, here I am. Billy finally saw the light. He and Joey's girlfriends are in the class we started last night. Some of the others may come around. God knows I love them, but they ain't dragging me down. Because friends should want what's best for each other. What good are friends if they don't love one another? It's in the class, I'm sure you heard. I have no friends when it comes to God's word. I'm not ashamed to stand for God anywhere, anytime. When Christ returns, better believe I'll be proud to look him right straight dead in the eyes. So I'm going to stand. May take a lot of guts to be God's man, but I'm going to stand. No matter what it takes, God, here I am. Now's the time, the place to be bold. Don't you wait for me now. Any day we'll see Christ. I'm going to stand. May take a lot of guts to be God's man. I'm going to stand. No matter what it takes, God, here I am. I'm going to stand. May take a lot of guts. I'm going to stand. No matter what it takes, God, here I am. Play it. So the Chinese. Crazy, chasing the dust.
never say no. All my friends, we stuck together. We were cool, we were hot, we were everything everyone else was not. We take it all the way, never thinking about the cost. Crossing gate, supposed to be with them, but I was 3 minutes late. I just met a girl that day. She was reading the Bible and I decided to stay. Read me Romans chapter 10. Didn't take long, I got born again. My friends left. God, how it hurts. But I did not compromise. Girlfriend are in the class we started last night. Some of yours may come around. God knows I love them, but they ain't dragging me down. Cause friends should know what's best for each other. What good are friends if they don't really love one another? It's in the class I'm sure you heard. I have no friends when it comes to God's word.
I just love that song, man. What heart is put into that song? That was his life, you know. That was his life. His best friend got killed, but he was getting witnessed to and getting born again. And that must have killed him. But not really, because he got born again. He got other people born again. We have a great life. It's a life that's more than abundant. And it's not because of how much money we make. It's not because of, you know, your wealth or your house or your furnishings or that stuff means nothing. Nothing to God. He promises to supply whether you live in an apartment or, you know, it doesn't matter to God. You keep him first and you're going to get what you need. And so will the people we witness to and get born again and teach them the accuracy of God's word. No matter what the circumstance, God is there. No matter how bleak things may look, God is there. And we do our utmost for his highest all the time and watch God work, and he does work. I think we're just going to close tonight. It'd be good for you guys to hang out. So, Father, thank you so much for your kind grace. Thank you for your word that you placed in our midst, that we can speak it, that we can heal people, we can get rid of spirits, that we could help people accept your forgiveness, and that we can accept your forgiveness and your healing, your grace, and any spiritual problem we might have in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for setting the table for a wonderful week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless. Thank you.